Watch the soldiers gather round him. In this dark Gethsemane, see him stand before old Pilate. Hear the crowd cry, crucify. Watch our blessed Savior suffer. See him bow. Watch them take his bleeding body. See them lay him in the tomb. Watch them wrap him in the grave clothes. They anoint him with perfume. Now they'll wait, they'll watch and worry. Though they knew he had to die. While they waited for his promise, Christ was very much alive. See him take the keys of Satan. Watch him shake the gates of hell. See him loose the chains of darkness. Watch that fountain star.
Hope, healing in his wings, have cried for so long. You are weak and you're discouraged. You're barely holding on. But he heard you the first time you called. He who promised will deliver. He won't let you fall. The word of the Lord will come. God will speak with a voice of love in your time of need. Word of the Lord will come. God will bring strength and hope, healing in his wings. The word of the Lord will come. Listen in the tragedy, trust while you wait. Stand on his promises, his word is never late. The word of the Lord will come. God will speak with a voice like fire, great and mighty things. The word of the Lord will come. Healing in his wings, the word of the Lord will come. Healing in his wings, the word of the Lord will falling before.
hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore.
Great singing. We're so blessed to be able to have the talent, the workers. God's been really good to us. I was going down the road Friday afternoon, me and Luke. I was in my old red 4Runner, the one that he calls a piece of junk. And he began to ask me questions, and we were talking about cars. He said, "Daddy, if you could have any kind of car or truck in the world, what would you want?" And he said, "What would it take to satisfy you?" And I thought about it in a minute, and I said, "Well," I said, "I'm pretty satisfied, but I'd probably want a Jeep, you know, a little bit jacked up with some bumpers and this, that, and the other on it." I said, "But you know, I'm really pretty happy with this. Because when I go down through the woods, I don't worry about the sides of it getting scratched." And then he kind of looked at me and said, "That's all." When I come in here on Sunday morning, I want to tell you the honest truth. There's nothing I'd rather do. There's nowhere I'd rather be. I don't come to church on Sunday morning thinking about another place or another thing. And sometimes if people ask me if I could have any job in the world, what would it be? The only thing that would satisfy my heart is serving God. Now, I have a job, and I thank God for it. It allows me to provide for my family. And I get up on Monday morning, and I give myself a pep talk. And I go right down there and I do my very best. But I sat there thinking about that, and I want to ask you a question. What would it take to satisfy you? I got a message here that I'm going to try to bring entitled "The Way." But I want you to think about that. What would it take to satisfy you? Sometimes you think you know what it would take, but if you got it, you probably wouldn't be satisfied very long. I want to read in John chapter number 14. Obviously, this is very familiar scripture. You probably know which verse already I'm going to. If you just stand with me, let me read, and then we'll pray, and I'll let you be seated. But I'm going to do my best to follow God. That's all I know how to do. Sometimes the Lord burns a thought into my heart and my mind, and I fiddle around with it all week, praying, seeking God. And it's about Him and what He wants. It would be absolutely futile for me to come up into the pulpit and try to preach something that I think is appropriate or is catchy or has a good outline or whatever. It's all about the Lord. And I'll tell you, from my perspective, everything that happens at Hiram First Baptist Church is about Him. It's not about me. And I'll say this to you here this morning. If God can use me, God can use anybody. Okay? Because I don't believe He calls the qualified. I believe He qualifies the called. And what God wants is somebody that'll follow Him, trust Him, and really just get out of His way and let Him work. Sometimes God can't do what He wants to do because people are too busy trying to show Him how to do it. Now, I'm glad I'm saved. I want to read this familiar scripture. It's John chapter number 14, the first 6 verses. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. We know that if anything good comes, Lord, it's not because of us. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way and you'd move in with your Holy Spirit and you'd be honored and glorified in this place. God, that the words you want spoken, the verses you want read, God, that we would be attentive to your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that your Spirit would speak to somebody's heart and life this morning. Help them understand the way that they should go. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that's said and all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this scripture, just this thought, is one that's been drilled and really working in my heart and my mind. Sometimes I don't know if I look around me at this world that we're living in today, people get so passionate about things that really have nothing to do with the way. They have nothing to do with God. They have nothing to do with their eternity. But people begin to be so passionate about things that sometimes when things don't work out exactly the way that they want them to, they don't know how to cope with life. People become broken and down inside they're just torn all to pieces because they go and they try out for something like American Idol and they don't win. Or they go and they try to attempt to be involved with a beauty contest or a talent contest and it's just not for them. Or they don't get the job that they want or the relationship that they want to work out doesn't work out and it seems like their life is just over. But you know, the most important thing that I think we should understand in our life is the way that we should go in our relationship with God. You know, this scripture in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when you begin to think about that, what is the way? I want to give you 2 points that I want to try to bring this morning. Because, you know, as Christians, we talk about heaven. We sing about heaven. We talk about going to heaven. We read this scripture where Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. Well, one thing for certain is we're going to die. Every one of us in here. You know, and if I live 20 years more, that's just a short period of time. You know, when I begin to look at my life and I think about how fast it seems like it's going by, the older I get, it seems like the days on that calendar are just rolling off like that. You know, it seems like that it's getting quicker and quicker. We don't know how much time we're going to have. But I'll tell you one thing, you're going to die. At some point, you're going to be placed in a coffin, and they're going to decide where they're going to put you, and somebody's going to get everything you've got. You know, I think about that sometimes. I think about the stuff that I have. I got stuff. Y'all got stuff. Okay, that's why when people build houses today, one of the biggest rooms in a house is a closet. I got a garage you cannot park a car in because of stuff. I've been looking at these aluminum carports that you can buy for $7.99 and putting walls on it to put more stuff in. But you know, the older I get, the more I think about it. I've even thought about sitting down and making an inventory of that stuff so my wife would know what to do with it when I'm gone. Even telling her now, this ought to be worth this and this ought to be worth that. You know what I'm talking about? You don't think that way? Let me tell you something. We weren't born for this place. God created us. We're just here for a short time. And we're going to leave and we're going to go and be with Him for eternity. And what we are here is just temporary. That's eternal. And when I look at this scripture and He says, I am the way. He says, I'm the way to live and I'm the way to die. Now I'm ready to meet the Lord when the Lord calls me. But the truth is, I got things I'd like to do. Okay? I got 2 boys. I'd love to see them graduate from school, and I hope and pray I can keep working long enough to do that. I got another grandchild on the way, and I'm looking forward to seeing that grandchild. I'm excited about what God's doing in this church, and I'd like to see what God's going to do. But the truth is, we have no idea how much time we've got here. You know, when I begin to think about it, Jesus is the way. He's the way we should live, and He's the way that we should die. Now, when you are going somewhere, and we're all going places, amen? We're going to go out of here, and we're going to go find a restaurant, or we're going to go home and eat leftovers or whatever. But anywhere you go in your life, you need to know the way. But how many people get up every morning and they go out and they really don't have direction because they really don't have anything guiding them or leading them? You know, a few years ago, I was at a funeral, and the pastor that I had at the time, he was preaching at the funeral. And I got there, and the funeral home was pretty full. There's probably as many people there as there is here this morning. And the pastor got up, and he began to preach the Word of God, and the family seemingly was very divided. There were people on one side that were against people on the other side. And here's what I found out, that one side of the family was Christian, the other side was absolutely anti-God. And when the man passed away, some of his children did not want any reference whatsoever to God brought up in that service. The pastor got up and he began to preach the Word of God, and I noticed them squirming just like there were ants on the bench. And they got up, and this is defiance, folks, and this is where people are at today in their life. They walked up and they hit a cassette recorder and they started playing the song, "I Did It My Way" by Elvis Presley, and they turned it up to overshadow the preacher as he was preaching. Do you know when you come into the house of God and you hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God is moving and you're defiant and you turn away from it, that's exactly what you're doing? You'll say, "I'll do it my way." You'll do it your way for a while, but you will stand before a living God. As I sat there and I was on that bench, I did just like this. I hit the bench for my Bible and I didn't bring it in. I was looking for my sword because I wanted to jump up and help the preacher. Because you can do it your way, but not forever. So how are you doing it? Are you doing it your way or are you doing it God's way? In Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12, there's a verse that says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, I heard them talking about the election, and they were talking about the millennials and how they're going to have so much to play in this election coming up. And sometimes when I hear the mindset of our society and of America and how America has changed, I want to tell you, it troubles my heart. Because there are so many people that think they're going to do it their way. And this is the way life is. You know, you go through high school and you need to make as good a grade as you can, right? You take that SAT 3 or 4 times so you can get a good score. Then you get into a good school. You go for 4 years, you get your bachelor's degree. Then that ain't good enough. So you go for a couple of more and you get your master's and you get out and you go looking for a job. By this time, you're 24, 25 years old, sometimes before you get into that career, and then you work there for 20 years, and about the time you think you're going to retire, guess what they're going to do? They're going to look for somebody younger than you so they don't have to pay you retirement, and they're going to move you on somewhere else, and you're going to look back at your whole life, and you're going to wonder if it was worth it or not. You're going to wonder if it was fair or not, but I want to tell you something. There's more to life than that. We're here to serve God. He's alive. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And people are missing the point. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends are the ways of death. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13 and verse number 14 talks about two ways where it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." Now I want to tell you something, folks, this morning. And I say this, and I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. And I believe this is in my heart. There's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. But I want to tell you something. I'm confident that what I believe based on the Word of God is true. And I don't care who doesn't believe it. I'm not going to change. I don't care what the world does, but if you read this scripture and see what it says, Jesus said, "I am the way." And he said, there is a way that leads to life, and there's a way that leads to destruction. And here's something I want to give you. It's okay to be narrow-minded when you're correct. Think about that. It's okay to be opinionated when you're right. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. Now when you contrast these ways, here's what you see. There's a broad way. That's where most people are at. They're going down this road. They're wide open. They're satisfying themselves. They're living for themselves. Whatever they want, that's what they're going to have. It's just like I asked them, oh, what is it going to take to satisfy you? You know what it takes? It takes a little more. I once heard a question asked to one of the richest men in the United States, and he kept on. More money. Got to have more. And he was asked the question, how much money will it take? You know what he said? A little more. You know what you're going to say? A little more. But the truth is, money is not going to bring peace to your soul. Because the more things that you have, and the more you try to fill up your life with things other than God, you're going to find that that gap just gets bigger because the peace of God is not present. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many are going down that path. Then there's a narrow way. It's a straight way. Kind of like people ask me, well, you know, you think Jesus is really the only way to heaven? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Do you believe the Bible is correct? As a matter of fact, I do. Sometimes they even say the word is inerrant. What that means is, do you believe the Bible is without error? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And they look at you kind of like you're funny. Well, you're just not up with the times. No, I'm not. And I don't have any intention to be, because just like the song, I'll take the old highway, the one called straight, the old path, the path of God. I don't want the broad way. In fact, I want to be resistant to it. Because the pressure is, in the day and time that we're living in, it's okay to go to church, as long as you don't preach like I preach. It's okay to go to church, as long as you don't believe that it's really going to change your life. Well, I want to tell you something. If you get close to the Holy Spirit, it's going to make you very uncomfortable because you're not going to be able to live just anyway because God is alive. He's not just a religion. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if I want to know how to live, He gives us instruction. His Word is a book of instruction. As I heard it said recently, it's a text message from God to you. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and verse number 6, here's a scripture. And this is kind of my life verse. If I'm ever one of them big preachers that gets to sign Bibles, this is what I'll sign, okay? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways. Acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. I need God to direct my paths. Because if He does not direct my paths, guess what? I'm going to be off the narrow way and I'm going to be on the broad way. I'm going to be looking to satisfy self. I'm going to make decisions without praying. I'm going to make decisions without seeking the will of God. And when I do, I'm going to be in trouble. So I've learned to look for Him, to seek Him. This verse really become dear to me when I was single. When I began to seek the will of God about what He had for my life, knowing that God had called me to preach, praying that God would send the right person in my life. Young people, that's God's will is the most important thing. God's will is the most important thing for anybody. Who am I? What am I going to do if I go and satisfy myself and I live my whole life in vain and I get to the end of it? And God said, why didn't you consider me? Why didn't you follow me? Why didn't you seek me? Why did you only seek to satisfy yourself? The way, and I'll tell you first, the way to live. And I'll just give you some points for Scripture. Now, folks, one thing, and this is the kind of way I am sometimes. God will give me a thought. You know what I do? I argue with Him. I do. You know, sometimes, and I heard it say, well, you ought not to question God. Job did. What did he say? He said, oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. He said, I would fill my mouth with arguments. He said, would He plead against me with His great power? He said, but no, He would put strength in me. Psalms 103, it says, He remembereth our frame, He knoweth that we are but dust. I do not know what God knows. My mind cannot conceive or understand the things that God does perceive and understand. I am limited. So sometimes when I don't understand, I ask Him. You know why I can ask Him? Because He is my friend. Because He is with me everywhere I go. Because I pray to Him continuously. And He is a part of my life. And when I'm somewhere, as people would say, alone, that's when I have the most intimate times with God. Because a Christian is never alone. So I'm seeking God. And I'm asking Him, God, what are You going to do with the way? And He started opening up the scripture to me, and I said, please stop. I'll never preach that in one morning. But I just want to give you just a few thoughts this morning on the way to live. Number one, the way to live is led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14 says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then you go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. And it says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, people are living their lives. They're not led by the Spirit. They're led by the flesh. That's why they seek to satisfy the flesh, more for the flesh. And the problem with that is when you seek to satisfy the flesh, that question, what will it take to satisfy you? You will never be satisfied. But when you walk by the Spirit and you're seeking the Spirit of God, when you're filled with His Spirit, you realize that there's nothing more important than that. And what we need to do and the way we need to live is we need to live led by the Spirit of God. How else can we live? The Bible gives us direction to live demonstrating kindness. You see, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, the Scripture says to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. To be kind. It's kind of like this, there's never any reason not to be kind. You know where we're at in the world today and in America today? We're trying to teach ethics without God. You know, it's kind of like, well, is there really a standard? Is there any truth? Is there such a thing as truth? You know, the world we're living in today, they don't want to believe in absolute truth. You know, truth, it's almost like this, and this is even taught in some universities, truth is what you perceive it to be. But folks, truth is truth whether you accept it or not. And I once heard a man give the example when he was trying to talk to somebody like this, and he found out that he was a sailor, and he said, could you imagine going out at night and you're sailing your ship? How would you navigate? If your instruments are broken, how would you navigate? And the man said, well, I would take azimuths, I would look at the stars, and we would take measurements. He said, okay. What would it be like if every night when you went out, all those stars were all jumbled up? And he began to understand the point, because there is such a thing as truth. Is truth is not what man makes it out to be, but truth is what the Word of God says that it is. That's why when we're seeking direction, the first thing we should do is make sure we're lined up with the Word of God. Amen. And what the Word of God tells us won't lead us astray. You can live showing forgiveness. Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 25, it says, And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Be forgiving. One thing I'll tell you, the older I get and the more I walk with the Lord, the more sensitive I get to the Holy Spirit, the more that the Holy Spirit moves on me just like that. If I think something I shouldn't think or say something that I shouldn't say about somebody, the Holy Spirit moves in on me and He says, I've been good to you. I've been merciful to you. I've forgiven you. What are you doing to somebody else? And when God begins to speak to my heart and my life, I realize I'm nothing without Him. And if I'm going to know how to live, I want to live sensitive to His Spirit. And if I'm going to live sensitive to His Spirit, I need to be walking like Jesus. And I can't do that in the flesh. We ought to live doing good to others. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31 says, As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I never know what I'm going to need. I never know when I'm going to really be in a position that I need somebody to help me. You know, some of these people, they walk around and they are doing it their way. They're self-made men. They're kind of like the rich fool that said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many days. Take thine ease." And then what did God say? He said, "This fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then whose are all those things going to be? You can't add one day to your life. You can't add one cubit to your stature. You can't add one hair to your head. And you can't do anything to defy a living God. We ought to live honoring God in all we do. In Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 23, and I love this verse. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." And I've got here in my outline, and I've got "be the Lord's," and then I have a blank. And whatever you are, if you're here this morning and whatever your occupation, the question is, are you the Lord's? Are you doing it the Lord's way, or are you doing it your way? See, I've been through times in my life that I was denied that promotion, and I argued, and I got upset. And the Holy Spirit had to come speak to me. And when He spoke to me, I remember one time having a situation in my life, and I was an estimator at the time. And this is what I finally resolved. I'm going to be the Lord's estimator. And if this is all I ever do, and Lord, if this is all You ever want me to do, help me be the very best that I could be. Now, I'll tell you, part of that I learned from having a godly father who was a godly man, and he was a preacher, and going through watching him and His faithfulness. But I'll tell you also, it comes from being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Are you the Lord's? Fill in the blank. Or are you going through life miserable because things aren't the way you want them to be? The most important thing is, wherever we're at, being right with God. See, we ought to live walking like Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." You say, "Well, I'm not God." Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm not either. And sometimes when I read that, I realize I come so short, and there's so many areas of my life that need improvement. We talk about this at work all the time, continuous improvement. Now, I don't know if you've ever run into anybody, and I don't care what age they are, they look at you and they say, "Well, I've achieved it. I don't need to go to Sunday school anymore. I've got this book." It's almost like I'm so like Christ that there really ain't anything else I need. I've run into a few that thought that, but I've never run into anybody that had it down. So when I read this scripture and I look at it, the way to live, I ought to live walking like Christ, and you go back and you go through all these points. If you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to have kindness. You're going to have forgiveness. You're going to do good to others. And you're going to honor God with what you do. That's how we ought to live. That's why God put us here. History is His story. It's His. Your life is His. Your talents are His. Your strengths are His. If you can do anything and do it well, it's because He allowed you to do it. Don't try to take God's glory by being prideful in yourself. So are you doing it God's way? Or are you doing it your way? We ought to know the way to live because we ought to live. And I want to tell you something. I enjoy my life. You know, I mentioned that Jeep. Oh, I'd like to have it. I just don't like the payment book that comes with it. Amen. Now that the weather's cooling off, my old red truck don't have no air conditioner. I'm liking it better. And I was talking to Brother Terry outside. Let me tell you, when it gets fall, and I go outside and a breeze hits me and I see the leaves change. And we go up to the pumpkin patch with the kids and I can smell them pumpkin pies cooking. And they're blowing that smell on purpose out across the yard to draw you in. I want to tell you, I'm not miserable. I enjoy life. I enjoy the blessings of God. I enjoy my family. I enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. So I'm not longing for heaven like there's nothing here. Folks, God has blessed us. But what He's got for us is greater. And what we need to understand, we need to know the way to live. But we need to know the way to die. Because death is certain. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Then you have this age-old question, and this is where all the religions of the world come from. You know, the religions of the world, they're trying to figure out how to live, and they're trying to figure out how to die. They talk about nirvana. They talk about karma. And all those different types of things, when in reality, God's given us everything right here in His instruction book. But there's an age-old question that Job asked in chapter 14 and verse 14. He said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And though Job went on to answer, he said, "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." See, Job knew God, and he knew who God was, and he walked to God with God. And even in the greatest trial of his life, he remained faithful to God. He didn't understand it. He didn't always have the answers, but one thing we know, if we're saved and we have a relationship with Him, that He is God and there is no other. And then you go down to verse chapter 19 and verse 26. Job made a profound statement when he said, "Although and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." See, when David died and he called his son unto him, he said, "I go the way of all the earth." And you go back through the Old Testament, many times when a king would pass, you would see those words, "the way of all the earth." Because here's the point, we were not made for this forever. That's why we have a body and a soul and a spirit. And God has given us the earnest of that spirit that we would desire to be with Him. And I've heard preachers say, as they got older in their life, that they had more waiting on the other side than on this side. And they actually, as Paul did, when you read Paul's writing, they begin to get a longing for home. And it is a longing to be in the presence of God, a longing to have the perfection of God. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a longing for the fullness of His Spirit. You ever have those times that you just feel so close to God and you're prayed up and the Holy Spirit's with you and somebody says something that would normally make you mad and you just smile? I'd like to be that way all the time, but the truth is, the flesh comes back. And what Paul said is he had a desire, he said, not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon. He wanted the wholeness, the perfection of God on him, and he knew and understand that as long as he walked in this flesh on this earth, that he would never be perfect. So he desired to be in the presence of God. The first thing I want us to understand about the way to die is to die with preparation. Preparation. Be prepared to face judgment. See, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, God's given us His Word. He's given us direction. In one place, it even said He gave us, you know, the seasons and the rain. And God's not left Himself without witness in that He gave us rain from heaven. He's showing us every time the sun comes up, every time there's a rainbow in the clouds, that He's God. You know, sometimes I have to go to the eye doctor. And I go in there and I ask questions. And they just kind of look at me. And it's kind of like this. And I've learned this. If I explain it to you, you're not going to understand it. But I ask anyway. And they start telling me about the cylinders and the cones and the nerves and electronic firing and all this stuff. And I begin to look at them and, But you know, the more I ask and the more I learn and the more I study and the more I look at the human body and I look at creation, and David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth quite well. We are created special by God, in the image of God, for the purpose of God. And it is defiance to go through your life and never bow the knee to a living God. If you do that, you will die unprepared. Don't die without Christ as your personal Savior. See, it could be pride. You need to fall on your knee before the Lord while you still have time. See, this is His world. We are His special creation. Bible says in one place, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That good works is how we're supposed to live. We didn't evolve. We didn't come from nothing that turned into something. We're God's special creation. And God loved us. He created us because God wanted children. And God loves you. You say, well, if God's a God of love, why? Well, what are you going to do for Him? All you got to do is accept the free gift. See, Romans 10 and 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Die with preparation. Then as Christians, die with expectation. You see, in John 14, those first few verses, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my lifetime, I've lost all of my grandparents but one. I've lost a sister. My wife has lost all of her grandparents. She has lost a sister and a brother. We've lost friends. We've lost cousins. We've lost peers. I've been involved with funerals for young and old. And the point, David said, I'm fearfully made. Because life is fragile. All it takes is one blood vessel, one cell to split in your body. Because this body's not made to last. But Scripture tells us in chapter number 15 of the book of Corinthians, he says, I'm going to give you a new body. One likened to Christ. And you go over to Revelation 21 and 22 and it talks about the gates of heaven. And it talks about the things that are going to be inside the gate and the things that are going to be outside the gate. And now, folks, I want to tell you something. I know that we don't like separation here, but the Scriptures teach us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I was beside my bed, my daddy's bedside when my dad passed away. And the last breath he took on this earth, he was in the presence of the Lord because he was prepared. And he died with expectation. I can remember the last time that he was standing on his feet. And I was behind him helping him stand. And he looked over his shoulder at me. And he said, son, do you have anything on your heart? Now here's the question he was asking me. He knew that his life was about over. And he had showed us how to live and he was showing us how to die. And here's what he was asking me. Has God give you the message to preach at my funeral? And I said, yes, Dad, I do. Because I knew and he knew. See, my dad knew the way. People go through life and they don't understand why they're never satisfied, why they're never happy. They hadn't learned how to live because they're not living for God. And when you don't know how to live, you sure don't know how to die. You not only die with preparation, die with expectation, but you die with peace. In John 14, going down to verse number 27, Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, a Christian, when they know they're going to leave, they die with peace because they know they're going to be with God. But there's a problem when someone doesn't know the Lord. You can go through life, you can deny, but at some point or another, you're going to have to think about it. And if you don't have any peace, then you certainly don't have any hope. And the last thing I've got here is die with hope. There's a film we showed here last year when we had the movie on the lawn. It's God Is Not Dead. And there was a girl that they featured in this film who was one of these. She wrote some column for the left, the New Left, I think was the name of the column. And all she ever did was criticize. She criticized people outside of a church. She criticized, you know, what we believe and what we stand for. And she kept getting these texts from the doctor, and she's too busy. She went to the doctor, and she was living her life. And you know what? She's just like the song. She was doing it her way. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor was trying to talk to her. She kept getting texts, and she kept trying to stop the doctor. Finally got a phone call. "I've got to take this." And the doctor says, "I've got to tell you this. You have cancer. Not only do you have cancer, but your blood markers show that you have distant metastasis. And I know that you're too busy." She said, "Well, I'm just too busy for that." He said, "I know that you're too busy, but you're going to have to deal with it. Because if you don't, this world is getting ready to deal without you." And she went home, and her relationship that she had done her way was broken apart. And she began to be troubled, and she finally broke down and cried. You know why? Because we love this life. But what we ought to understand as Christians is God, not only do we love this life because we know how to live, but we can love what's waiting on us because there's going to be a reunion. I'm going to see my dad again. I didn't get to meet Brother Quinn here, but I'm going to meet him there. The men that I grew up trusting and praying with all my life, they're going to be there. My grandmother's going to be there. My sister's going to be there. And I'm going to be satisfied there. I don't know everything there is to know about it, but I'm not going to get up there and say, "I wish I was back down there." One scene in this film that sticks out in my heart that I want to continue to share with you is there was a concert, the Newsboys. You know, liberals, they mock at us, they make fun of us. They're going to die without God, though. And I don't take joy in that. But this girl broke in the back door, went into where the Newsboys were, and she says, "Do you really put your trust in," and I don't know exact words, but it's like, "Do you really trust in this Jewish rabbi carpenter to give you hope?" And they just kind of looked at her and said, "Well, yes, we do." And then one of them spoke up and they said to her, "Where do you get your hope, Amy?" And as she broke and she sat down, you know why? Because she didn't have any hope. You see, if you don't have Christ in your life and He's not your personal Savior, you can go through life doing it your way, but there's going to come a day you'll need hope and you won't have any. There's no place for you. Because you've turned away everything that God has tried to give you. So I want to ask you, what would it take to satisfy you? And where do you get your hope? My hope is in the Lord. There's a song that says, "My hope is in the blood." I want to ask them to come and get a song and ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. You know, there's a story in the Bible of a rich man and Lazarus. Old Lazarus, he was poor and he didn't have much. Old rich man, the Bible says that he received all of his goods in this life. He wasn't merciful, he wasn't kind. I believe the story leads to that. Did it his way. But when it come time for both of them to die, the rich man wasn't prepared, but Lazarus was. See, when you don't know how to live and you live wrong, you're going to die wrong. Question is, are you headed the way you need to be going, and are you going the right way? Do you want to allow God to show you the way? You know, I come in here this morning, and I had to do a whole lot of praying before I could preach. You know why? Because sometimes, and this is just the way it is as Christians, God will show us the way, but you got to be willing to follow. And sometimes in my stubbornness and in myself, I may not follow exactly where God wants me to. You say, well, you're the preacher. I done told you, if God could use me, He can use anybody. Yeah. And if you're here this morning, you hadn't been going the way, you know somebody that hadn't been going the way, if you don't know Jesus is your Savior, I want to tell you, it's fantastic to be able to come into the house of God. Amen. To feel the Holy Spirit and to be able to talk to a living God. We're going to give you an opportunity to pray as they come and sing, and I know the singing will be good. And I know that God is here because I feel it. Where is your hope this morning?
For the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy. For every sin sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wronged, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong, there is a remedy. For every sin sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, every time and every place, there's an answer to the question, there is love for all the hate, there's a healer for the dying, He's the light, the truth, the way. All the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
We're going to sing one more song. We still have people praying, and we thank God for that. For the Holy Spirit moving and allowing God to work in your life, that's a privilege.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be able to come into the house of the Lord and worship. God is doing great things here. We're going to sing one more song. And while we sing this song, the altars are still open. But if you want to come and be a part of this church, God is doing great things. We'd love to have you join with us. We're going to open the doors of the church. You can come by baptism. You can come by statement of faith. But as they sing this one more song.
Called heaven, I'm told, where the walls are made of jasper and streets are pure gold. On the streets of that city are mansions so fine, and one of those mansions is mine. Roll all over heaven and view that fair land, or just to sit beside the river and sing of God's love with my Jesus in heaven.
Come on up.